Welcome to another episode of The Professor and the Princess. We're your hosts. This is Randy.
The Professor.
Yes. And I'm Henri, clearly the Princess.
You forgot your crown today.
I know. It's weird all the time, actually. Oh God. Speaking of that AI crown.
Right.
So look, we come together to talk about many different topics. And what we enjoy doing mostly is flipping stereotypes because we've all been labeled with something. Mm-hmm. And we're like, actually, you're not right. Mm-hmm. And let's talk about what that means. And we do that one conversation at a time. We're going to dive into it. We're diving into a topic that I actually love to talk about right now because people are so afraid of it. AI. Mm. And the AI, artificial intelligence renaissance, I like to call it, and what's happening in the world. Yeah. Randy, what's hitting you? Oh, you touch your chin. So what's happening in the AI world? How's AI coming for you?
Robot. For the five people in the world who are listening to this that actually know me, they know that technology has never been my friend. And
so untrue. You're really tech savvy.
Oh, yeah. I'm really
You're more tech savvy than you think.
Uh-huh. Anyway, that's not what this is about. But it is fascinating to me that, I mean, AI, we've been talking about it for years, right?
Absolutely.
For decades, really. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, in the last, 3 months, it's become, this hot topic that everyone is talking about. And people go from such extremes from, the stormtrooper robots coming to kill us and, the Total Recall, RoboCop, dystopian world that we're about to enter into. But the reality is, I don't think that's what we need to be afraid of. Mm-hmm. I think we need to be afraid of what it means to our humanity, mm-hmm. and how it mm-hmm. will affect us, and how we can have a positive impact on what it becomes. Because right now we still have the control,
mm-hmm.
but so that's, for a couple more years. They say by 2029, I saw, I think I mentioned to you, I heard this podcast where a very, very smart man, Mo Gadot, said,
mm-hmm. Love Mo.
By 2029, the smartest human will be the equivalent of a fly compared to Albert Einstein, that the brain power, the intelligence of the AI will be 50 billion times greater than the smartest human. And I'm sure that is an actual fact. And so the question is, what are we creating that to look like? And is it possible that it, instead of being dystopian, it can be utopian and they can figure out the solutions to the problems we can't figure out, like fossil fuels, like the climate issues, maybe it will make things better. I don't know. But I think we all have this fear of the bad stuff it can do. So that's what my initial thoughts are. What about you?
No, I live for that. 'Cause it's so crazy. I'm doing a talk back keynote speaker for an innovation conference coming up in April. And when I was talking to the team about what to discuss, mm-hmm. part of it is talking about my career over all these years, and then something new, right? Because it's these brilliant scholars. And the head of the program and the event said to me, can you talk about AI? Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, that's so juicy. Because I'm all about moving things forward and how we look at things. Like I told you, the robots can come back and take over and I'm ready for it. Bring it on. And I'm so serious about that. So the thing is this, I understand the fears, like anything, all the fear that's around it and the fears that people have, I get it. However, I'm quite excited about what, is going to come of AI and what AI can do for us as far as elevating things and giving us different ideas. And then there's some parts of it that I think I am afraid of when it comes down to not so much the jobs, but it's this whole idea of the value of things, right? The fact that we get to put our hands in and get dirty. I like getting dirty and building things. Mm-hmm. So the fact that some of that is going to be reduced, I think that's, that annoys me because I think that humans are becoming so lazy, right? Because computers are doing everything for us. Mm-hmm. I can just Google something and the AI generated answer comes up and I'm like, no, I want to Google that. I want to go through the scroll and find, but then the answer's right there. So I don't need to look at it. So the luxury of that has tripped me out a little bit.
Right. It's it's a blessing and a curse, right?
Yeah. Isn't it?
So last summer I was going to London and somebody said, just go to ChatGPT.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote, I'm going to London for 8 days. I need an itinerary. And within 15 to 30 seconds every day, and I didn't necessarily follow it to a T.
Yeah.
There were certain things I didn't want to do, but it gave me the framework like that. Mm-hmm. And whereas before I would be checking out different websites, mm-hmm. maybe buying a travel book, yes. you know, but there is something from my perspective to be said for doing that research on my own. It feels more like I'm going to find the things that are really important to me right. versus just, like you said, being lazy and letting something, some other entity do it for you. Mm-hmm. However, there's so many potential positives, whether it's medical advances, mm-hmm. you know, curing diseases.
Which is happening now.
Doing surgeries without a human hand shaking and, you know, like all those.
Which that freaks me out.
Right. But, you know, the self-driving car, that also freaks me out.
We saw issues with those, right? Stopping in the middle of the street.
Yeah, yeah. Right. But I think the positives, it's just like anything else. The internet, social media, mm-hmm. they all have their positives and negatives.
Right, right.
They can bring us together, but they can also drive us apart.
Right. I mean, and that's a big part of the conversation too, right? It's this whole idea of, yes, let's look at the fears. I can't wait to do this innovation talk back because I'm like, I have a list of fears that people have across certain industries. Like when we look at the marketing piece mm-hmm. or that space, we've seen this just in the work that we do is that, you know, the creative directors and art directors, they will come up with fabulous ideas and iterations of the creative and, you know, but then they'll do like two versions in AI and it's like, oh shit, that's really cool uh-huh. and taking it to the next level. So you do have this variety of, uh-huh. right? It's not so much about it killing jobs. It's just about it helping us to show more options and other things that we can do that may be able, we can do them faster uh-huh. in certain cases. But it does take away from the creative.
And it also, it depends on how you view it, right? If you look at it as a resource versus...
Language is everything.
For example, I, as you know, I'm a college professor.
Yes. In real life, ladies and gentlemen.
In real Hello. Life. And when I talk to my students now, and this was the first semester I actually had this conversation with them, I talked about AI. And I talked about how I wanted them to use it within the confines of my class and how I thought it was acceptable to use it and how it was not acceptable to use mm-hmm. it. And I said to them, if it helps you figure something out or enhance something, fine. But I do not want you to use it as a generative tool to come up with ideas that are not your own.
Right.
And I think that's like where we're at. Like we still have the choice right now as to how we want to use it or not.
Right.
And I don't think that there at this point it can replace the human emotion of things.
Never.
Right? I think it may eventually, but not right now.
A computer technology taking on human. So I'm going to go to psychology.
Okay.
Right, and jump into that space. Because having conversations with my peers in across psych and American Psych Association, we have those conversations about what are the fears, right? And so it's a fear, but I bring it home to like some value.
Right.
This is the thing that I brought up in the last conversation with the psych folks is I'm worried about the cultural piece because coming up with interventions for people is a task and it takes a lot of work. However, it gets very sensitive when you're talking about an intervention for a Black person or for a Hispanic person, someone from a different culture, right. Or women,
right.
Right? And because AI is not populated with all that information, because clearly we're populating AI,
right?
Right, and that's the reason why it's going to be this big incubator of everything, all these ideas, right? So then you look at the ideas, someone looks up an intervention for a Black person because someone who's never worked with a Black person has that information in the system, and they're given that, meaning a white therapist or a therapist who's non-Black.
Mm-hmm.
Exercising that intervention can be harmful than a person, what a person is actually going through, I should say. So that's the thing that kind of scares me in that space, kind of where we are with it.
At that this it's point, too narrow.
Right. So when I go back to what you said about the emotion piece of it, I'm like, will AI ever be able to broach the subject of human emotion? Maybe some information.
Right.
But not really.
But I think once the AI becomes sentient, which is also imminent.
Right.
Sentience can definitely lead to emotion. Like, I think they can become feeling. I'm not saying feeling the way with the depth that we do, but I think because it's never happened in the history of what we know, there's endless possibilities of how it can evolve without us even. Our wildest imaginations couldn't imagine what that could be.
Right. And I look up in the sky when you, people probably didn't see like, that, but I look up. But I looked up because, I'm buying that notion a bit. And I'm buying it because I'm thinking about this whole idea of how technology is guiding us, right? Technology, what's available in technology, what people see, they're influenced by. Uh-huh. So that's the thing I'm afraid of. So you could be having an emotion and AI says, no, that's not sadness, that's this. And then you're like, okay, that's what it is, and kind of go on with it, right? Uh-huh. So is it real? Like, uh-huh. We're being guided by it, right? And that's nerve-wracking.
Right, because you then can't rely on your own self.
We're not now. Like, it's right. So crazy. No, right. But keep going. I didn't mean to interrupt you, it's juicy.
It's totally fine. I just, you know, you have this self-determination of how you see your life, and now you're questioning it if this machine tells you that's not the correct thing. But the other thing I just wanted to jump into for a minute is this idea of years ago, and now at this point, it's at least 10, 15 years ago, I interviewed Ray Kurzweil.
Mm. Oh, look at you.
Who wrote Transcendent Man and among other books. And he's
a futurist.
And he did a film called Transcendent Man that was at Tribeca, mm-hmm. which is how I got connected with him. And he said, this is, again, maybe 2010, 2012. If you can make it to 2045, you can probably live longer, way longer.
Like, if you make it to, okay, great.
If you're still alive in 2045, that there's, you know, there's a lot of prediction that you'll be able to live, you know, 150, 200.
Like a pill you can take or something,
or they'll be able to fix your parts or whatever, right?
Which parts, Randy?
Well, you know what I mean. They'll all be able to make us like the $6 million man, right? All the parts, right. But then even beyond that, there was this discussion around being able to maintain your consciousness even when your body isn't here.
Mm-hmm.
So that, like, think about this, and I think about this all the time. The loved one that you miss terribly is gone physically, but you can still have a relationship with them through this computer. And they're still them. And the essence of who they are is still available to you.
What was that movie with, I think, was it Joaquin Phoenix?
Which one?
What's her.
When
yes.
He falls in love with
That's what it's taking me to.
With his
I don't know if my mom came back as a robot because she's been dead for a minute.
Well, she wouldn't be a robot. She would be her in her own way, but you'd only be able to communicate
with the microwave
through the computer type. But again, it's not really about, you know, would I want to do it or not. I mean, it's really more about, I'm sorry, but if someone told me I could live to be 200 instead of like 75, I'm in. Where do I
really?
Sign?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
as long as I can have quality of life and I'm not sitting in a wheelchair staring at the nurse's station, yeah.
That all the parts work.
I don't even care about that. You're obsessed with the parts.
I am.
I think if my brain works and I can get around and still do things and see things and be vital, I'm in.
Yeah.
I'll sign the paper right now. Like, I feel like life is literally too short. And we don't even begin to start realizing how lucky we are till we're like 50. So by that time, it's almost, you know, it's at least half over, and that's under the best of circumstances. So if AI can increase longevity, I'm in.
I live for it. But I love that because I think the reason why people don't want to live a long time, which I have this moment, is I think of my grandmother who's 99, right? And she doesn't, I mean, she communicates well, but she can't walk too much anymore. She can't see anymore. And when we think about being older, that's what we think about.
Right. You think of being infirm.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But the fact that I could be a robot, you know, after 80, press a button, and then I move over, instead of going to the funeral home or to the morgue, that I can go to the lab and become this thing that can live longer.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I'm with you, Randy. I'm going with you.
And then we can go to Italy.
Oh.
And eat pasta and drink wine
and not get heavy.
And it's right. And we're like 90, but we're still living, you know? Like, that's like the only thing I could think of that would be better is if I could be a vampire.
I thought we were vampires.
And live forever.
Nothing. AI vampires. Bring that in.
Oh, I would love that.
And so, are you afraid of anything when it comes down to AI?
Yeah, of course. I think that anything that's smarter than us is dangerous. But specifically something, I don't think it's going to be like an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. But
I'll be back. He did say that years ago.
He did say that. Yeah. But you know what I mean. Like, I feel that the things that I always worry about in life are never the things that are the problem. So it's something I'm not even thinking of that will be the issue. And I don't know what it is yet because it's still being developed.
I'm hoping and very hopeful in the experience that AI can be a driving force in some way to eradicate the isms,
the racisms,
and the homophobias, et cetera. I think that'll be a very interesting experience. We talked about that another episode just when we talked about culture. Mm-hmm. But I think if there's something there, because I think it isn't this whole idea of AI I'm excited about, is I think there's some things that can influence culture and how we move as humans.
I mean,
and how we think.
It's almost, somebody said to me, it'll be like Planet of the Apes, and we're the apes.
Girl, I'm not, I don't know if I want to do that.
I'm like, that I'm not interested in.
Yeah, I'm just.
Because then there's this like pecking order of, we're basically the worker bees, and we work for them. And I,
we're already doing that.
Yeah, I ain't doing that.
Exactly. In different ways. But, you know, this whole idea in Renaissance of AI, I think, is going to be very interesting in so many different. What's the takeaway you want the folks to?
The acceleration is what I'm most fascinated by.
Yeah.
That it's happening now so quickly. That, like, 6 months ago, we weren't talking about this as much, and now it's part of our daily discussions. Mm. So the takeaway is, you know, think about the world that you want to live in and help the AI create that versus a lot of the negative stuff that's out there that is going to be seeping into the AI consciousness just by being part of it. So think about the way you show up, and maybe that'll, in a positive way, impact how AI develops.
Yeah.
What about you?
So my takeaway is, I can't tell people how to feel. I can tell people how to feel.
Yes.
That's not going to change anything, right? In that fear, use that fear to lean into what you're talking about, right? AI's here. It ain't going nowhere, right? But let's try to feed it the right things in order to change the world, if you're really into changing the world and making it a better place. I mean,
well,
whatever
that
means.
We certainly don't want to make it worse, right?
And we can. We can.
Oh, we easily we can, right? But we don't want to.
Exactly. So is this an opportunity to really like shift things?
And I bet you that if we have a similar conversation in 6 months, it's going to be a totally different conversation.
Absolutely.
Because it's going to keep evolving into something we're not even talking about yet.
Exactly.
So that's kind of exciting. So we'll do another episode on AI in 6 months.
We need to keep doing AI.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
All right. We're going to bring it on. Anyway, thank you. That's all for today.
Yeah.
Signing off from your favorite podcast.
Favorite podcast.
The Professor hashtag. And the Princess. Hashtag favorite podcast. That's what we should actually, we should change it.
I can't.
You can check us out on all the platforms, The Professor and the Princess. Email us at theprofessorandtheprincess@gmail.com. Let us know what you want us to talk about, and we will tackle it. Until next time, au revoir.
Au revoir.